Just to set the very scripture in place, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, and I will read the first 12 verses. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our fathers.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with the water of repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." As we come to the Word of God this morning, I want to remind you as we come here, because we do have and will be having baptism, but let us look at God himself and see who he is. The Bible is the record of God and the history of the world. It begins with the creation of all things, including man. After man was created, he fell into sin, and God's plan of salvation was instituted to save men from eternal damnation. God accomplished man's salvation by sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for their sins. His death on the cross freed true believers from eternal punishment in hell. Christianity is truth, is the truth of the Jesus Christ, and that trust in him is the believing of who he is. Mankind will be saved from eternal hell. The Bible teaches clearly that faith is a gift of God, and the repentance of the sinners obtains forgiveness from God because he trusts in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord's only Savior for mankind. That trust is announced by a true believing by the rite of baptism. Here we feed John himself is in the wilderness. He's preaching and he's telling the people of that day that they must turn from their sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who he brings to the forefront, even in verses 13 and down to the end. This morning, we will have the joy of witnessing one who will openly express his faith in Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. As we turn to the Word of God this morning, I want to guide our minds and thoughts of the biblical teaching of baptism. I will have 3 points for us this morning. The first one, the purpose of baptism. Second point, the method of baptism. And finally, the results of baptism. I begin with the purpose of baptism. When John the Baptist announced the coming of the Lord Jesus, he told them that they must be ready to meet him. meet him, the one who would come, and that they could only be done, that can only be done by dealing with their sins. We read what he said, and he went baptized, and he was telling them to repent. And Mark 1:4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin. Here in Matthew 3:2, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's blessing of salvation will make a complete change in those who are called by his grace. They are spiritually dead and have lived in sin all their lives. God calls the sinner to himself by the gospel and through the truth of the Bible. The sinner is transformed by the power of the grace of God. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus and lives according to the commandments of God. The new spiritual life is expressed with forgiveness of God and the submission to his word. And this new life begins with baptism. Publicly begins. John says in Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with the water for repentance. What is John saying when he says repentance? He says repentance. In other words, they must do something. It means to make a turn. Here the people were coming out to him and they saw him there. And he was telling them, as you come, you must turn. What is a turn he's talking about? He means a radical transformation of an entire person, a complete turnabout, including the mind and the actions of life. The kind of change includes grief for the past life of sin, and it promotes fruit in keeping with righteousness. Baptism symbolizes death to sin and the spiritual cleansing associated with newness of life. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 8:28-19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This became the method of reception into of converts into the Christian church. When the gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the crowd in Acts 3:38, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And all were united to the church. And it says this way, and they, that day, there were 3,000 added to the souls added. And the rest of the chapter records their faith and attachment to the body of believers there on the day of Pentecost. And so here that we see our first point coming here, the purpose of baptism. It was in method of coming into coming and seeing sins, repentance had to take place, and that was the purpose why it was done. But we come to the second one. What is the method of baptism? How it is to be done and carried out? Well, the word baptize will help us with that. It means to dip or immerge. If anything, it could be dipping or immerging, the Greek word, into water or into a pot or whatever the case may be. But it means to immerge, to dip into something. Baptism is the symbolic picture of the believer's death of sin, entering into water and rising again to newness of life, coming out of the water so the person goes in and the dead person, who he is, who she is, goes down. A death is then seen and new life is what comes out. And this is the very thing that Christ has done. As we are told, even in Matthew 28:19, he told them to go out. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul makes it clear what baptism is a picture of, and that is of the new life of the believer. He says in Colossians 2 and 12, having been buried with him, that is Christ, in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him, that is raised up with Christ, through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And dear people, this is who you know Christ. All of you who know Christ, you know this is what salvation is. Salvation is new life in Jesus Christ. The old life, who we were in our sins and how we lived before God saved us, was living in and for the very pleasure and all that we can gain in sin. Now that life, that dead life, was done when God saved us. In baptism is a picture of that salvation. Is the picture of ourselves dying to the old self and coming again, raising up anew. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, both so that you obey it and its lust. Romans continue on, and do not go on presenting the members of your body in sin as instruments of unrighteousness to God. Excuse me, Colossians chapter 2. But he goes on, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Do you see what he says? Baptism now brings a person into the place. It is actually a picture of what is taking place in the soul. You see, no one gets saved in the waters of baptism. One goes into the waters of baptism professing what has taken place in his life. And he or she is saying, this is the very thing that happened to me. Sin reigned in my body once before. Sin told me what I wanted to do. And I lived to all the joys of the flesh and of this life. But God has saved me. No longer do I live that way. And that very thing is saying, I am dead to that old person. I'm a new man, new woman, new boy, new girl in Jesus Christ. And then Paul could say, now sin shall not be master over you. You knew. And that leads me to the third point this morning. We've seen the purpose of baptism, the method of baptism. Now, how about the result of baptism? Here in the results of baptism, what we look at, we're talking about the spiritual change that come upon mankind. And that spiritual change is something that is real. And we find it, and first of all, we see in Galatians 3 and 27, it says this way, for all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. All of you who were baptized with Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Paul gives a clear picture of what has taken place in the believer's life. How we must understand baptism. I want you to turn with Romans chapter 6 for me, with me, and I'll show you what here the apostle states in there, what has happened to us. And here when we come to the 6th chapter, the apostle Paul, he mentions in basically in the first verse of the 5th chapter, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that we are new. We are not the same as we were before. And so therefore, we are different people. And that difference has taken place, what God has done to us. And so we say, here is what baptism shows. It's showing this new change has come. If you read the last verse of chapter 5 of Romans, it says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Paul asks the question in the first verse, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? He's saying here, God has given us grace. And here's basically what he's saying. Now I have grace. What does grace tell me? God will forgive me for all of our sins. So Paul is saying, so since we know God will forgive us for our sins, do we continue in sin? And that's what he says in verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say to this? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be! How shall we who died to sin live in it anymore? How? Because we have truly and really spiritually died. Then he says in verse 8, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? He says the faith we have in Christ, the connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus himself went into the grave, he took us with him in his body. When he died, with all those sins that was put upon him on the cross, they were actually meted out in Christ. They were judged then with him. And when he went there, we went there in Christ. But now he says, in life, what do we do? How do we live? He says, therefore, verse 4, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. He's saying the change has taken place, and that change is a real change. That change is a change where now we no longer walk as we used to walk. He says in verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. The result of baptism, he's saying here, is that God did something that no one can do himself. We cannot wish this. We cannot have some kind of way of saying it over and over again, and there'll be a change. God had to do it. Here we were, sinful people, and our bodies lived into all that we thought was great for us. All things that made us feel good, made us happy in this world. And it included sin and selfishness. And so he says, what happened to us? We were crucified. That old self, which said, go as far as you want to go. Sin as much as you want to sin. Make yourself happy in this world. That's it. That old self died. And here's the picture of baptism. He said, knowing this, that old self was crucified with him. When he went down, when he was on a cross, he was crucified there. When he went down into the grave, it now took all the penalty that we had. And as he came out of that grave, the risen Lord, we now passing through what we have had as an old one in sin, now a new one in Christ Jesus, we pass through that and we live differently, not the same as we were before. Into Christ we are, to share the joys of his sonship, to clothe ourselves with him. And this is what we did. And this is a spiritual idea of the results of baptism. Spiritually, you and I, dear person belong to Jesus Christ, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. But that is the spiritual aspect. But he also tells us, the gospel shows us, or the Bible shows us, that there's a newness of life. Not only is there a change, not only is there something that happened to us spiritually that we can't see, who can look into the soul of man and understand what's going on there? None of us can. But all we can see is what comes outside of the person, which indicates that the person has made a change. And this is what he's saying there. And here it is. We saw the spiritual change. That is something that God does by his Spirit and by the work of Jesus Christ. But the Bible also tells us, then this ends with change. It now comes out as a new life. It is a picture of what we have become. Oh, child of God, you are known by how you live. You are known by what things you do and what things you find your joy in. Every confessing Christian is told by the Word of God to be baptized. In other words, that is saying that I want to express to the world what has happened to me. Christ died for me. He went into the grave. And I want to show that now who I am in this new person, that I died to the old self. And I rise up and showing who I am. Now, no one gets saved in the waters of baptism. Now, that's not the purpose of the waters of baptism. But what it is showing that this is what has happened in my life. It is not a matter of left up to the person to decide. Baptism is not something that a person say, well, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. I know, but I don't need to be baptized. No, it's not a matter. That's up to you. It's not a matter that you should say, should I get baptized or should I not get baptized? No, you're saying, I must be baptized to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God our Father. Also, the new believer, his or her life, with their focus set upon the scriptures, will tell them how they must walk. Notice with me in Colossians chapter 3, Romans 6, Jesus, Paul is telling us that this is what happened, this is what going down. And he also goes and say that you are freed from sin. He's saying there as he goes on, he says sin does not reign. Sin does not have any power over you anymore. Yes, sin remains there, but it does not reign. It has no power. And so Paul, he speaks up in here in Colossians chapter 3. And notice what he says about the life of the believer now. Verse 1 in Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. You see, what is he pointing to? Spiritually what's taking place. Now he's going to point to physically in our lives what should be taking place. Now, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So what he's saying? What are the thoughts of the Christian? Oh, what am I going to have in the world? How am I going to live? How much money I'm going to gain? How popular I'm going to be? No. Seek those things which are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then he tells us clearly, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So he said, there's a whole change of mind. The concept of who you are is changed. We can go back and say, you know what? I came into the world through my parents, and here I am. I'm a human being. And all that's going on in the world today, they look at people who you are as a human being. And they try to make everything that you do and how we live, it's all there and that's it. Enjoy your life. Well, they say to nations, you're not helping us to be all we can. And if I want to be this way or that way, leave it up to me, long as I'm happy. But God says to the Christian, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. So you see what he's saying? Oh, when Jesus left the cross and when he went into the grave, the tomb, he came out. And what did he do? He went right up and sat on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he says, your life is hidden with Christ and in God. Where is Christ? He is there with God. Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Then you also will be realized, revealed with him in glory. Our whole life, he's saying, is meshed in this, connected with the whole truth of Jesus Christ and who he is. You know, you hear people say today, you know, I don't want to hear anything about this Jesus stuff. Well, I say to you, if one is in this place like that, you're going to know Jesus. You're going to know him. If you don't know him and get saved in this life, you're going to know him, he says, into out of darkness. You're going to know him. You're going to see him. And you're going to see all he is. And some people who have heard the preaching of the Word of God and even seen people being changed from the life of self and into the life of Christ, they're going to look and say, I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes, but I wouldn't accept it. And here you're going to see him and you're going to have nothing to say. But Lord, here I am. But Paul goes on in this passage, dear people, and notice what he says. He says here in verse 5 and down, and he tells us how to live this new life in Christ. Colossians chapter 3 really shows us that. Verse 5 says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. What is he saying there, dear people? Consider the members of your earthly body as dead. You see what he does with baptism? He takes baptism, something that we do, which is a picture of what has taken place. And he says, now, you consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Not as dead to everything, but to certain things. The dead to these things, which are nothing but sins. To immorality. Don't go around doing everything you do. You look at your body. This body is dead to that sin. This body is dead to impurity and thoughts, passions, evil desires, greed, and which amounts to idolatry. That's the result of baptism. You're saying in the waters, this is what God has done to me. I'm saying it now openly before all. And this is the very thing that I have. This is who I am right now. You're saying it in the midst of God's people. That me, I too have gone through these. Even what we saw on the day of Pentecost there in the Old New Testament period. What has happened to those saints has happened to me also. And I join myself to the people of God. This is what you're saying. Dear people, if you ever want to find out what to do and how we should live before God, you can see it here. Paul says, here is the new life. You get to the place where you wonder, well, should I do this or should I do that? It's not so bad in the world. Come back. Come back to Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. And here, if you read the entire chapter of Colossians chapter 3, it not only deals with how you deal with yourself, it deals with relationships. It deals with the family relations also. Wives, to be subject to your husband as a fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. You see, here Paul is saying there's a difference, and all of it is united to the fact that you have been raised up to newness of life. The old person has died. And brethren, you and I can say for sure, we will not be able to live this world except by the grace of God. So we see what we do here. We can end it off in saying, there is only one way to live our lives to the glory of God. Only one way. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, brethren, I say this, we should ask a question. What would Jesus do? We're raised up to newness of life like him. What should we do? Who is our model? What are the words coming to us from the scripture? How we should live? And we want to bring it to the closest thing. Instead of trying to remember this commandment or that commandment, just ask this question to ourselves. What would Jesus do? If you're getting yourself into a tizzy fit about to argue with your wife or your husband or a friend, think to yourself, what would Jesus do? If someone is about to take the advantage of you and you whirling up inside, you know it's coming, that you want to now fight back, say to yourself, what would Jesus do? And we'll find ourselves able to live this life which is sold to us. Dear people, the Bible is not philosophy. The Bible is religious truth, which happens to each and every one of us. It's a spiritual book to show us who we are. Micah, I suggest that you read Colossians chapter 3 at least once a week for spiritual growth and the understanding of the new life that God has given you and who you are in Jesus Christ. And dear people, I pray that God would help us. Therefore, Christian baptism is the picture of the blessing of God given to a hell-deserving sinner. We deserve nothing, but love is the very thing that turns us to Jesus Christ. May God bless us. May God help us. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, it is a true joy for us as we think of even coming to what truth is. Not a man-made salvation, but the one that was in Jesus Christ. And we saw him, what he did in the scriptures. We know what he did. But Lord, we can know that through spiritual life, it has happened to us too. And it is a joy to be able to go and to express our lives in baptism, to show to the world and to a people that you have connected us with that we are truly new creations in Christ Jesus. So we pray now, Lord, bless us and guide us. It is in Jesus' name we pray.